From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. BP is reacting to the release by a member of Congress of the company's worst-case scenario for the huge oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. NPR's Paul Brown joins us now with more on the internal company memo that has BP on the defensive again.
Craig, Massachusetts Democratic Congressman Ed Markey has released an internal BP document, and it shows 100,000 barrels of oil per day could be leaking under a worst-case scenario, rather than the 60,000 barrels now considered worst. Here's Ian McDonald. He's a professor of oceanography at Florida State University, and he says with this scenario in mind, BP should never have even tried pumping mud into the well at a rate of 8,000 barrels a day.
Looking at this data, I mean, they had to know that the odds were totally stacked against them.
So, Paul, what's BP saying about all this?
Well, the company's trying to downplay the significance of the document, saying it describes a scenario, not fact, and depends on whether something called a blowout preventer is removed from the well, which it has no plans to do. But investors remain concerned, and once again today they are driving the value of BP stock down.
Thanks. NPR's Paul Brown in Washington. Oil service companies are going to court today to try to lift the moratorium on deep water drilling. NPR's Robert Smith in New Orleans reports that move comes after the Obama administration slapped a six-month hold on new well drilling in waters deeper than 500 feet.
The oil companies will argue that the moratorium on new deep water drilling is driving the industry out of the Gulf. Sam Jaberga of Hornbeck Offshore Services says rigs and ships will simply go to Brazil or Africa.
And as a result, we're going to have a tremendous loss of all of the expertise to conduct deep water drilling in a safe manner.
The moratorium will be defended in court by administration lawyers and the Southern Environmental Law Center. Derb Carter, a lawyer with the group, says that every deep water well is now suspect.
All these companies have given the same assurances this type of disaster would never happen, and they've had the same inadequate oversight by the Minerals Management Service.
But oil companies say the government should have to prove there's a threat before shutting rigs down. Robert Smith, NPR News, New Orleans.
More strong winds are expected today in Arizona, winds that have been fanning the flames of a wildfire near Flagstaff. Hundreds of people have been evacuated, as have a number of horses that were moved into travel trailers for a trip to safer stables. Jimmy Curley was helping evacuees leave the area. He told KNX-TV that the fire is fearsome.
I can't believe it. I've never seen anything like this in my life. How high those smoke clouds are, it's bad.
Several hundred firefighters are working to contain the blaze. National Guard troops are keeping an eye on areas of Billings, Montana that were damaged by a tornado. The twister ripped the roof off a sports arena and several other buildings, but no injuries are reported there. This is NPR News from Washington. Colombia has a new president. NPR's Juan Ferrero in Bogota reports Juan Manuel Santos has won a runoff election by a landslide and will succeed popular incumbent Alvaro Uribe, who steps down in August after two terms in office.
Santos is a former defense minister in President Alvaro Uribe's government. He said he would continue to put the pressure on Marxist rebels. But Santos said he would also pay special attention to the economy. That means pressing the U.S. Congress to approve a stalled trade pact with Colombia. Some U.S. lawmakers say Colombia must first address concerns about human rights. That could be a challenge for Santos. Under his watch, army units killed hundreds of poor villagers and presented them as rebels killed in combat. Santos said he shed light on the scandal and fired those responsible. But human rights groups worry that the killers have not been convicted. Juan Ferrero, NPR News, Bogota.
46 miners are reported dead after an explosion at a coal mine in central China, and more than two dozen others narrowly escaped death. China's official news agency says many of the deaths were caused by carbon monoxide poisoning. The mine's owners had lost their license to operate and were ordered to shut down earlier this month, but had restarted production in defiance of that order. More than 2,600 miners were killed in accidents and explosions in China last year. The key suspect in the failed bomb attack in New York's Times Square is scheduled to appear in federal court in Manhattan today. Faisal Shahzad will be asked to enter pleas to 10 terrorism and weapons charges. The most serious of those charges carry mandatory life sentences if Shahzad is convicted. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.